John chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that Jesus was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also." Isn't that incredible? I mean, somebody who's got such a powerful testimony that people not just want to see Jesus, but it says, and they wanted to see you too. You know, when we go to church, don't you look forward? I look forward to being in the presence of God, being in this house of prayer and opening God's word and praying. But I also look forward to being in your presence. And people show up, and sometimes I'll say to them, "You made my day." And I never told you that, Carolyn. Listen, you can't mouth things, and you think I can't hear it, but I can read your lips. All right. But I look forward, and I love Sister Carolyn. And I look forward to being in God's house with God's people. And when you're not here, you know, your absence is felt. And I can look around, and I can see the people that are not here. And not only can I see the ones that aren't here because they're not able to attend today, I can see the ones that are in heaven today. You know, and I see their place, and I see where they sat all through this building. And I love God's people. I love our church. But what an incredible statement that people will come to church. And you know, most of the time when people come to church for the first time, they're not coming to see Jesus. They're coming to see you. Because you're their friend, and you're their neighbor, and you're their coworker, and you're the one that invited them. And so they're coming to see you. Well, hopefully they'll get to see you and find Jesus in the process. That's how it works. You know, people come to church because you invited them. They don't necessarily always know that this is the house of God or that they're going to find Jesus here. I think of Sister Marge's testimony. She said she wasn't even coming to this church the day she drove by. But the Lord just grabbed her heart, gripped her heart, and said, "Turn around and go to that church," right? And that's her testimony. That's the reason she came here, just because the Lord just gripped her heart. She wasn't intending to come here, but the Lord directed her here. And what a great thing when we can have a testimony that people want to see us. They want to meet us. How many of us have a testimony that when people see us in Walmart, they try to stay on the next aisle so we don't catch them? Now, you know you've done that. There was somebody, it was Tony Terry is who it was, but he was in Walmart one time, and I saw him, and I put some extra stuff in his cart. Anyway, he could tell you that story if you hadn't already heard it. Anyway, but Lazarus, look, Lazarus was dead, and Jesus called him back from the dead. Remember, he walked up to the tomb, and he said, "Roll the stone away," and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And, you know, they say that if he hadn't called Lazarus, if he would have just said, "Come forth," all the dead bodies would have walked out of there. But since he named Lazarus, Lazarus is the only one who got up and walked out. And he called him back from life, and people wanted to meet him. Look, Lazarus had a testimony. He was dead 4 days. Where had he been for those 4 days? In paradise. Where's paradise? In the center of the earth. And in the center of the earth, there is that place, the holding place for judgment day. But at that time, there was a what we call Abraham's bosom or paradise. Half of it was for those who believed, and half of it was for those who rejected God. And the Bible says there was a gulf fixed between them so that one could not pass over to the other side. And remember, and this is a spiritual place, that there are spirits there. The body goes in the grave, but the spirit goes to paradise or Abraham's bosom. And there was Lazarus for 4 days. Don't you know he had a big time when he was there? And he, don't you know he met people in the Abraham's bosom and talked to people like Elisha and people like Abraham and all of those, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all those people he had learned about and talked about and maybe taught in their version of Sunday school. Of course, he didn't talk to Moses because Moses wasn't there. He's in heaven. Or Elijah, he was in heaven. And Enoch, because he was in heaven. But everybody else in the Old Testament that had died up to this point believing in God were in that place called Abraham's bosom. And Lazarus was there for 4 days. And I would have loved to sit in Lazarus' Sunday school class and let him tell me about what it's like to die and go to the other side and see and hear and talk and experience. And you know, Lazarus probably had quite a testimony. because he probably was able to see over that gulf and see those who didn't believe. And he probably came back with a powerful testimony of what happens when you don't trust God. He was probably the number one soul winner in the world in his time, telling people you need to put your faith in Christ. You need to put your hope in God, because eternity is going to stand by for nobody. When it's your time, it's your time. But they came because they wanted to meet Lazarus. In verse number 11, it says that by reason of him, Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Because of one person. So what can one person do to make a difference? Wouldn't it be wonderful if each one of us committed to find out what would God do with me if I just let him? If I just completely surrender, totally sell out to God and say, God, every moment of my time, every ounce of my energy belongs to you, and I will speak when you tell me to speak, and I will shout when you tell me to shout, and I will be silent when you say to be silent. And I want to make a difference, and I want to love who you love, and I want to hate what you hate, and I want to move where you move. Lazarus was surrendered, and many believed on Jesus because of him. But if you'll notice what it says, these were the chief priests talking on verse 11, and it said, they went away. They went away. You see, they had been going up to the synagogue, up to the temple. But then they found out that that was not what they needed, that they needed something more, that they needed Jesus. Not just the old faith, not just a tradition, not just a ceremony, but they needed a Savior. And so once they had a Savior, the synagogue was no longer sufficient to meet their spiritual needs. Guys, we spend so much time trying to entertain and satisfy ourselves with stuff that's never going to fulfill us. And now that we know the difference, we ought to spend our time with the Lord and get away from that stuff that's not working anyway. Get away from it. Walk away from it. That's what it says in verse 11. Verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. And cried, Hosanna! What does that mean? You know, it's just a way to express worship, excitement, exhilaration, enthusiasm. It's just, you ever heard of the rebel yell? Can any of you do it real good? Right, how about this? You ever heard of yee-haw? You ever heard of that? Hosanna is just a Jewish version of yee-haw. I mean, that's exactly what it's just. You just try to express it with all you got, your excitement and your enthusiasm. And when Jesus was coming over that hill, look, he'd been in Bethpage. He told him, I want you to go into a certain city and I want you to find a colt. I want you to find it and bring it back to me, on which never another man has sat. This one hadn't been broken, never been ridden before. And yet when it came to Jesus, it was surrendered. And Jesus got, and he sat on it and rode into Jerusalem over that hill, the Mount of Olives, and they laid palm branches and clothing. They put clothing on the colt and also on the road and laid a carpet before him as he entered into Jerusalem. And the people stood by saying, Hosanna! Yes. Yee-haw! Just excitement. Just love Jesus. I know yee-haw doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's the same thing. It really is. Hallelujah. Whatever expression of exhilaration you have, that's what it was about. And they just loved him and they just worshiped him. Look, it's Passover. You understand that's the occasion. It's not just Jews. It's every Jew in Israel is supposed to come, especially the men. But the men wouldn't most of the time want to go all the way to Jerusalem without bringing their family. And so they would travel to Jerusalem. And it's not just the Jews, but it's people from all over the world, those who had heard about it. Think about Passover. What could we compare Passover to today for us? Christmas. Somebody said Easter. But would you say that in America, Christmas is a bigger celebration than Easter is? Easter, we really do. We compress it down to one Sunday, And of course, most time we just fight about how rabbits got nothing to do with it and eggs got nothing to do with it. It's all about, you know, fussing about. It's just about the resurrection. Okay. Well, which day is it on? See, we're going to fuss again. By the way, you know he wasn't crucified on Friday. Y'all do know that, right? And so, but it brings up a lot of controversy around Easter. But now Christmas, boy, everybody's, you know, celebrating and having parties, celebration and giving people stuff. It's a big deal. Passover was the same thing for them. And people would travel and it was a big celebration and lots of dancing and lots of music and lots of food. And it was a big festival and it was a big deal. And people from all over the world were there. And here comes Jesus over the Mount of Olives, unassuming, not on a stallion, riding in as a king, but on a little colt. He rides over that hill humbly, entering into the city. And they lay down. But more than that, look at what it says in verse number 15. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. Hey, you know what he was doing? He was fulfilling scripture. They're celebrating Passover. Passover is a celebration of when the Hebrews were freed from Egypt. About the blood of the Lamb. You remember Passover? And Moses was instructed by God that if you had come to the doorpost of a house, that that family would take a lamb and they would sacrifice that lamb and they would take that blood and they would apply it to the doorpost and to the lintel. And as they applied it, you know what would happen is that blood that was on the top would drip down the door. And as they put it on this side and they crossed over to put it on that side, it would make blood on the door in the form of a cross. Isn't that incredible? As they applied it to their door in the form of a cross. The blood of the Lamb. It was a message to the Jews that if they would trust the blood of the Lamb, if they would be obedient to God, if they would trust the voice of God, that everything would be okay. And what happened is that night, as they entered into their home and they shut the doors, ready, dressed, the death angel passed by. And he would take the life of the firstborn in each one of those homes that didn't have the covering of the blood. And then, of course, the Egyptians forced the Jews to leave, and they were already dressed and they already had their shoes on, and they escaped out of Egypt that night, the night of Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming. All will be there. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so they were passed over for judgment. And they celebrate that. Here they are celebrating the blood of the Lamb. And here's the Lamb coming over the hill on a colt. They're celebrating salvation from Egypt. And here comes the Savior over the hill on a colt. And they're laying palm branches before Him. You know, the truth is, the apostles didn't really catch on to what was happening when it happened. Verse 16, these things understood not His disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of Him and that they had done these things unto them. You see, they didn't say, we're going to fulfill Scripture today. We're going to lay palm branches in front of Him as He rides, and they didn't even think about it. But they looked back and they said, hey, you know what we did? You know what happened? That was a fulfillment of Scripture. And what did that scripture say? Thy King cometh. The King of kings and Lord of lords had entered into the city, exclaiming with a shout, the excitement of worship, Hosanna! And fulfilled the prophecy. Verse number 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after Him. You see, as they looked about Jerusalem and everybody from the whole country was there, and people from other countries were there, and the Pharisee says, we're losing the fight against Christianity. Christians are everywhere. Believers are everywhere. Hey, guys, we're everywhere. We don't need to have a small mentality, a small-minded, a defeated mentality, a minority mentality, because we still have the power of God on our side. We are still the church. And we have the playbook, don't we? We know the plays that are going to be called ahead of time, kind of like Tom Brady did, right? But we have the Patriots, not just one guy, right? But we know what's going to happen ahead. We know what's coming. We know what's been promised. By the way, he came over that hill on a colt and they laid down palm branches just like was said. He was crucified just like he said. He rose again just like he said. He went into the Father just like he said. And he's coming back just like he said. He's coming back. We can take hope and assurance in these promises. I want to read you two more verses. There were certain Greeks among them that had come up to worship at the feast. You see that? From all over the world. I told you it was an international activity. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Can I promise you this, that when people come to church, they may come to see Lazarus, but they need to see Jesus. When they're interacting with us at home or work or the neighborhood or the community and everything that we're involved in, they may be there for Lazarus, but they need to see Jesus. And when they come through those doors into this building, we better show them Jesus from the Scripture. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you can have the assurance of salvation if you will admit you are a sinner. God, I'm a sinner. If you will confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God, I know Jesus died for me on that cross to forgive my sins. And he rose again the third day. God, forgive my sins and save my soul. Would you put your faith in God today? You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm saved. I've given my life to Jesus." Do you know what baptism represents? Baptism represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We are buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Have you put your faith in God to the extent that you have buried your past in the waters of baptism and been risen to walk a new life in Christ? Because this is your opportunity if you're ready to do that. Are you ready to do the work that God has called you to do? Because there's nothing stopping you. This is your opportunity. Would you stand? Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and pray you will draw us to you. We pray that you will make us whole in Christ. Wash away our sins and make us useful. God, for the burdens that we carry, I pray that we will find, especially this week, the opportunity to really give of our best, to really have the enthusiasm and the excitement that they had on that day when you came over that hill. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is your opportunity to come. If you want to kneel at the altar, you want me to pray with you, but you can pray where you are. You can talk to God where you are. This is your opportunity. God, I want to be more enthusiastic about you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. We would see Jesus. it's our responsibility as the church to show them our Savior through our lives and through our words and through our love. Is there anything before we're dismissed? Okay, be back tonight at 6 if you're going to practice for the song, be at 5. All right, and then Wednesday night 7 if you're going to practice for the song, 6. All right, anything else? Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?